Northern Ireland is an increasingly diverse society. We know that. We talk about it a lot. Multi-faith, multi-ethnic. So, why are the churches here still given a monopoly on deciding what school children are taught about religion on the school curriculum? That's the question the Northern Ireland Humanists are asking our Education Minister, Peter Weir. They want an overhaul of how religion and non-religious thought is taught in our schools, and they have an open letter to the Education Minister that just published it today. Boyd Sleater from the Northern Ireland Humanists is with us. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, William.
What's your particular beef with the way we're doing it at the moment?
Well, it's discriminatory, I feel, or we feel, simply because the four main churches, which are all Christian, have a monopoly on it, and they get to write the curriculum. So we feel that that is totally unfair for other sort of major world religions who may be minorities in Northern Ireland, and those of non-religious belief.
So that's your first problem. They shouldn't have that role.
That's correct.
You think that should be shared out? Well, who should have that role?
Well,
in your
should
judgment?
Be SAIR, right, and that CCEA should be the...
The curriculum body.
Yeah, it should be the curriculum body. It should be written by education professionals. Not even, you know, I mean, for instance, at the minute, there's a religious education advisory working group, and on that are the four main churches, along with the interfaith form. But only one member from the interfaith form can attend that. So that means, even though they may have six or seven different belief systems on the interfaith forum, only one can put across their views in there.
And do they vote in that body?
Yes, I believe they're able to vote in that body. And they're very, well, at least Edwin Graham from the interfaith forum is very supportive of what we're doing. We would work quite closely with Edwin on a number of things.
Is it not helpful, though, in a society that has been so divided by religion historically, that you get the churches together agreeing
on a common
curriculum on religion?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think having churches together along with other religious organisations and non-belief systems is a really, really good thing. I don't see that there's any issue with the Religious Education Advisory Working Group, where a number of different belief bodies can sit and say, well, we would like to see this, or we think that this would be an acceptable thing that goes on to
right,
the syllabus.
So that's only half of your problem. Mm. How we decide what's on the curriculum is only half of your problem. What's actually on the curriculum is the other half of your problem.
Yeah, it is. I mean,
what's your problem with that?
Well, I mean, below the ages of 16, it's very, very Christian oriented. I mean, I've seen some of the questions where it talks about ethical questions, where it'll have maybe homosexuality or abortion. You know, I'll have different sort of topics, and then below it'll have Bible quotes. You know, That's not right in the 21st century, really, to be... I mean, again, religion doesn't have a monopoly on morality. You know, you can be good without God is one of our slogans. Is, you know, that's...
Do children in our schools get to learn about Islam?
In the
religion curriculum, I mean.
There's very little time devoted to other major world religions. There's a very small part of the syllabus is devoted to that. And it's only really at the age of 16 plus and key stage 3 going forward.
And is that mostly actually devoted to Judaism rather than Islam in
the GCSE paper, it'll have the option for Islam or Judaism.
One or the other.
Yeah, yeah.
But what percentage, do you know, of what you'd be learning, would that be an option?
Less than
20%?
I would say it's probably less than 20%. I couldn't give you a proper figure on that.
So if you could do it differently, I'll bring in another guest in a second to take you on some of this, but if you could do it and redesign it differently, what would it look like?
Well, first of all, we wouldn't redesign it.
You don't want that role,
but what
would the educational experience look like?
It would be education. It wouldn't be indoctrination. You know, that would be the first point, that it has to be across the board a good education in religious education or other world religions. And that could even go into the likes of philosophy as well, you know, and it has to be inclusive. You know, and it has to be, as I said again, it has to be an educational curriculum.
Right, let's know what you think. Do you agree with Boyd Sleater on this, that we need a more inclusive, more open, less indoctrination-oriented, in his terms, approach to teaching religion in schools? And, you know, this is not a side issue. Mm. Religion is really important
is.
In our society and in our world today.
Another
really important
is,
that kids understand religion.
Yeah, another point is that it has to be inspected as well. It has to be inspected the same as any other core curriculum subject, which it isn't at the minute. You know, that's very important. But how do we even know that our kids right now are being taught correctly without a proper inspection?
03030 80 55 55. Your text to 81771. Pastor Paul Burns is on the line. Paul, good afternoon. Welcome back.
Good afternoon, William. Well, good to
does
talk
that
to
does
you.
That sound reasonable to you? What boys just laid out?
Not really. Given that Northern Ireland, the perspective, the people of Northern Ireland want their children educated at a younger stage in the faith, which is the main faith inside of this country, which is the Christian faith. And whether Boyd wants to look at it and whatever Boyd wants to say, and I respect Boyd's opinion, but in one of their statements, they have stated inside humanism, and humanism's campaign is to remove, to create a secular state and to remove religion that no longer occupies a privileged position. First of all, I agree with religion being removed, but it's Christianity that I represent, which is what the main churches represent.
Well, Christianity is one of the world religions, obviously.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. But inside of Northern Ireland, it is the main faith. Right across the board, just the same as the Muslim faith is the main faith in Saudi Arabia and Middle Eastern countries and Far Eastern countries. You know, we wouldn't be saying to the Muslim countries, that's how I teach Christianity and Judaism. You know, inside of Northern Ireland, the fundamental base is that our schools were used to go back to the system where it was taught by the different individual denominations, then it was handed over to the state. Now, Christianity is the accepted faith of the people of Northern Ireland. And I don't mind Boyd saying
Well, it's the accepted faith of some of the people of Northern Ireland, isn't it, Paul? Yes. Let's be accurate here.
And I mean, if we ask the question,
some of
Paul...
the people, but we have a diversity and we have different people from different cultures who have businesses who have settled here.
Yeah, but no, I mean, and I take your point that the majority of people in Northern Ireland, if you were to ask them, might well say, nominally or fully devotionally, I am a Christian. They might say that.
Yeah.
But not everyone says that. That's the point Boyd's making, Paul.
William, the thing is about that is that you can actually give some weight to Christianity. I mean, yes, I mean, we live in a secular Northern Ireland, actually. The predominant religion is Christianity. So, yes, I can understand there being it being slightly weighted towards Christianity.
You know what? Quite a few people are texting or tweeting Paul and saying, I'm not sure what your experience of RE was like at school or religious teaching at school, but in their case, they're saying all they got was Christian kind of Bible studies and Bible stories and church stuff. Sometimes the minister or priest came in to do it. It didn't feel like what they were getting in a history class or a mathematics class. It felt more like what you'd get in a church. Is that appropriate?
Well, when I went to school, William, and I'm very proud when they say I went to senior school, I went to a school which I now believe is closed, but I was very proud when I went to Orangefield Boys Secondary School, which became Orangefield School. And I got taught quite a lot about the different faiths when I went into religious education
and
the morals.
Right.
And I wasn't given Bible studies because my teacher was an English teacher and he was very, very good. And he went through the whole system all the way right up when we went into first form. He taught us about the different faiths. He taught us about the different morals. And he faced consequences and morals. He said, this is this opinion, that's that opinion. And I got a very good standard basis. But it was after I come through primary school, I wasn't confused. I was able in my brain to be able to take in and say, well, I live in a Christian society. I know my Christian faith. I've been taught my Christian faith. And these are the other faiths that are around about. And I was able to be taught them. And indeed, in certain cases, Orangefield even brought in different teachers to let us know about it because we're a very forward school. And that's going back into the 70s.
Yeah, well, that's great. But that's not across the board. And we know that that's not
across the board.
No, it's not, Paul, because at the minute the religious
Well, I'm getting lots of people saying they were not taught about any other religion during their religion education. Now, it might be an age thing. You probably will get it more these days than when Paul or I were kids, I suspect.
I mean, even quite recently, we've been invited into a couple of schools because we have trained humanist school speakers. So we are there to offer help and support to teachers who maybe don't know what to say about humanism. And it's great to hear from you, Paul, that you've said that your teacher brought in people as well. But the simple fact is that is not the case across the board. And RE is not inspected. Religious education classes are not inspected. And they have to be inspected. There has to be a standard right across the board.
The fundamental teaching of religious education is about the faith of this land. And the faith of this land is Christianity.
Okay, Paul, I ask you this, Paul. If Islam became the dominant religion in Northern Ireland, would you be happy for all your kids to be taught
Well,
Islam?
I very much doubt, boy, that
that's
would actually happen.
Hypothetical question.
The fact is that it is dominant in the Middle East and it is dominant most.
Okay, we've been around this corner a couple of times. Let's not keep repeating ourselves. Let's go to Henry. Hello, Henry.
Good afternoon, William. I was just making a point there. I was driving along, having had 18 holes of golf, relaxing my mind. So now I want to relax my brain.
Good man.
Good without God. Who, on morals, what are morals then based on, and who draws the white line as to where things are? I'm a Christian by profession. Christianity is God-centered. All other religions, in inverted commas, are man-centered. So from the point of view of me being brought up as a child through primary school and through grammar school, I was taught Christianity, but I was also taught there's other religions that teach this, this, and this.
Yeah.
So I have, within my brain, the capacity to work out which one I believe with,
sure,
obviously, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to convict people.
But your basic question, I don't want to run away from it, is where do you get the idea, Boyd, that,
correct,
you can have ethics, you can have a notion, well, of goodness without belief in God?
Correct. And again, on the Nolan show yesterday, not to get away from the subject, but relative to it, William, is it talks about, well, what if someone doesn't believe biblically that the situation,
right,
with homosexuality? Well, that's okay, but what do they base their morals on?
Got it. All right, got the question.
Well, I mean, you know, morals are socially evolved traits. That's what I would believe. You know, I mean, we know that we have to be kind to our fellow humans because it's the right thing to do. We know that in ourselves. We decide what is right and what is wrong. I mean, I'd like to think that you don't take all of your moral teachings from the Bible, because there's a lot of stuff in the Bible which I would say is morally wrong.
Okay, so you...
Can I ask this question, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm going to go to another call, though, first. I'll come right back to you.
Okay.
Pastor Paul. Terry is there. Hello, Terry. You've been waiting. That's why I want to get to you. Go ahead,
Hello,
Terry.
Hello, how are you, William?
How are you doing, Terry?
One thing that people seem to have overlooked at the moment is that the monarch of the country, that is, of the United Kingdom, Great Britain and Northern Ireland, is, during the coronation, is installed in Westminster Abbey,
yep,
the Christian church, and one of the vows that she takes is defender of the faith.
That's right.
That is the Christian faith.
Sure.
And I was taught Christianity in primary school and at grammar school, the same school which you attended, Mr. Crawley. Mr. Lord was one of the teachers of religious instruction there.
So I take the point you're making, Terry, which is constitutionally...
I remember you coming...
leave me out of this. Let's stick with the monarch.
Religion.
Let's stick with the monarch. What you're saying, I take your point.
No, we'll stick with Christianity.
No, that's the point. Terry, we're nearly out of time. I'm trying to summarise your point to Boyd, which is, whether you like it or not, Boyd, Britain is constitutionally a Christian country.
Yes, correct.
That's the point he's making.
But is Northern Ireland?
Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom.
Well, but
William, can I put the input in here?
You can jump in there, Paul. Go ahead.
Yeah. What I like to ask Boyd is, every time Boyd comes on, he says there is a pressure point, there is a growing support for it. Exactly how many people does he represent out of all of Northern Ireland that want to change this so-called religious education system that our people believe in? How many members is inside this?
I don't know. Let's get the answer.
The simple thing is that this isn't just coming from people.
You believe
who are,
there are a lot of people
non-religious.
Who agree with you?
Yes, there are an awful lot of people who agree with this. And this is not just people who are non-religious. I'm talking about religious people as well.
Well,
we have support from the interfaith.
Where's your percentage numbers out of the population?
Well,
of
I mean, the population of the United Kingdom, when a question was asked, I think they came up with the non-religious represent about 46% of the population. I believe it was.
Okay.
So.
Final call on this. Damien. Hello, Damien.
Hey, William.
Incidentally, William, Paul, the question could go back to you. How many people are in your church, fella? How many go to your church on Sunday?
William,
in my church on Sunday it varies, depending upon the people, because we work with the most vulnerable. But in the other churches, it's a lot bigger.
No, I'm just talking about how many people. We can always ask that question, who represents what. Let's go to Damien. Sorry to interrupt you, Damien.
No, William, sorry, you stole my something from
her. Telepathy.
Paul said, where's your numbers? I would like to ask Paul, where's his numbers? As far as I know, one in four Protestants attend church, one in three Catholics. So where's your numbers, Paul?
My numbers come from various things, because our church does different conferences and we also work in the community, so we have many different folks that come through. So, I mean, we vary in the morning at any different number. We can go up and above a certain amount or down below a certain amount because we work with people that didn't used to come to church, and we work with the most vulnerable, the homeless.
When you talk over each other, we can't hear you.
People in Northern Ireland, Paul, that would suggest the majority of people in Northern Ireland do not prioritise religion. The religion syllabus in Northern Ireland is predominantly Christian. The only mention of atheism is a challenge to belief.
Well, you see, this all goes back to percentage. If we're talking about numbers, then let's see
can't
how
hear
many
you.
People want
You're
to
talking over each
Northern
other. They can't hear a thing when you talk over each other. Damien, thank you very much. We got your main point, but I want to go back to this finally to this point that Boyd has been making. I know some people want to see this as an argument between religious belief and those who oppose religious belief, but actually you're saying there are people of faith who want these changes as well.
This is true, and this is not what it's about. This is not about arguing with each other. This is about having teaching our kids together and teaching about all major world religions to combat things like xenophobia in Northern Ireland. I think this is a good place to do it.
All right, thank you very much. Wish we had more time on that. Sorry, Paul, we didn't have enough time to get more from you as well. Pastor Paul Burns, Boyd Sleater. We'll tweet out this open letter so you can read it yourself that's been published today. That's it from us. We'll see you tomorrow. Here's Hugo.
Hugo Duncan.
Skiddly, that's me.
On BBC Radio Ulster.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to the programme. And don't forget, after two today, we're going live on Facebook. We want to see us all there. Have a look at us. Oh, we're like male models. Give us a shout.
Once upon a golden age, singing songs was all the rage. Songs for glory, songs for fun, sad songs in the native tongue. Upon me solemn oath, there'd be 40 verses, note for note. Here's a song to set you free from all of that old history. We got the tune beat goes, sugar, sugar, and the heart speaks. How's your mother got the tune beat goes? Shimmy, shammy, and the heart speaks. How's your mammy? Singing the songs, singing the songs, singing the same old songs. A staller sham, you're only spoofing. You're huffing and you're puffing and you're blowing the roof. I've got the electric guitar with the pickup and the tremolo bar. I got the tune beat goes, sugar, sugar, and the heart speaks. And how's your mother got the tune beat goes? Shimmy, shimmy, and the heart speaks. And how's your mammy? Singing the songs, singing the songs, singing the same old songs. Man, are you white to Paddy Talby's plan? Boys and girls, they twist about, they have a bit of fun and they dance about. They got the tune beat goes, sugar, sugar, and the heart speaks. And how's your mother got the tune beat goes? Shimmy, shimmy, and the heart speaks. And how's your mammy? Singing the songs, singing the songs, singing the same old songs. The tinker, the pavy sham, fair play to the traveller man. His wheel broke, he settled down, he brings beauty to the town. He got the tune beat goes, sugar, sugar, and the heart speaks. And how's your mother got the tune beat goes? Shimmy, shimmy, and the heart speaks. And how's your mummy got the tune beat goes? Sugar, sugar, and the heart speaks. And how's your mother got the tune beat goes? Shimmy, shimmy, and the heart speaks. And how's your mammy got the tune beat goes? Sugar, sugar, and the heart speaks. And how's your mother got the tune beat goes? Shimmy, shimmy, and the heart speaks. And how's your